The church is built on the rock of revelation, and the church also has a divine set of keys. The church is built on a rock of revelation, and that the church also has a set of divine keys. And in thinking about that, I want you to hear these, write these initials down. R-I-A-M. R-I-A-M. One, revelation. The next one is interpretation. I'll give it to you again. Third one is application. And the fourth letter stands for manifestation. R-I-A-M. This is where we're going to stay, in that realm of revelation. And after we get a revelation, the Lord has to give us an interpretation that it be real to us. And then there's an application has to take place. You have to put what God revealed you to the test, so then he can manifest. And then when the system starts seeing manifestation and religion starts seeing manifestation and tradition starts seeing manifestation, they understand a change has taken place. Okay. And that's why I want to bring y'all to understand that. So in reading Matthew, I want one point of the church is Matthew, where Jesus said to Peter, I'll build my church upon the rock. That means it's immovable, it's solid, it cannot be stopped. The second revelation I want you to see of the church is the ministerial gifts of the Spirit, not gift of the Spirit, the ministerial gifts. Then Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, what is our grave assignment to training people, what type of life they should live, what type of power they should have. He's talking about the fivefold ministry gift, how they should teach the people and the people should be able to function in a certain way. The third set of scriptures I want you to read is Acts 20, 28 through 32, because what Paul revealed there is that when the church began to get established, there'll be some who come in not for the right thing. So there have to be a group of people who can discern in the spirit who is who. I mean, even when they walk in the building, there should be 16 or 20 people catch them right away, know what this is. So now they focus on them, see what they want. And you'll find it in Acts 20, 28, take heed to yourself and to all the flock which the Holy Ghost has made you oversee and feed the church of God, which is put with his own blood. But like you say, after my departure, grievous wolves should come in your midst and not sparing the flock, trying to draw disciples after their own self. And then you see the church in its glory in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, where the apostles are really walking in their anointing and the people are receiving that anointing, and they're passing on that apostolic stance to those who are under them. That's what I'm aiming to do with you, to pass an apostolic anointing onto you that you can get, move to a higher grade in understanding of the functioning of the Holy Spirit and the work of God, all right? So I gave you those four sets of scriptures. I'm not going to read the whole all four of them. I might not read neither one of them. I want you to study them. So actually, in my study, it talks about the world of change. The world of change. There's a change about to take place apostolically in the church. All churches will not function in this, but yet we have been chosen to function here. So powerful prophetic times. Powerful prophetic time where revelation will precede action. This is the most powerful prophetic time in the destiny of the church, the destiny of the nation, that the church is prophetic. It's a realization. It's a revelation. It's a manifestation. It's a demonstration that we must enjoy before we can become magnet to draw people to Christ. All right. So it's prophetic. It's a moment that has been prophesied. And we just have been blessed by God to have the opportunity to be somewhere in the realm of the Spirit There are people who here who have pursued God, not just Leroy. There's people in this room that have pursued God in different ways for a long time. And it put them as a candidate for to be able to receive, for lack of a better word, the snapping of the natural, breaking of the natural, that they'll have an expectancy of the supernatural all the time. Expectancy of the supernatural. See, the supernatural is the only thing going to be able to handle the time that we're living in. A lot of churches will be left behind. They'll be doing the same thing, but they won't be able to move with the spirit of the prophetic moment. And then we're in a season of abundant grace. And we have to be seasoned like a pot, cooking pot, with abundant grace. The years ahead of us are years of great significance and of being seasoned with abundant grace for the rising, now watch what the next statement is, of governing territorial churches. Governing territorial churches. Now we're saying that, you remember the Bible said in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, the government should be upon his shoulder? Well, his church, Jesus Christ, we find out the last part of Ephesians 1, Jesus Christ is the head, but we the body. And so we have to start thinking different, acting different, believing different, receiving different. All of those things should be escalating. In other words, it's accelerating in our life. Now, with all of things that go talabi shiki, vrasuma, all of my shiki telebahasa, all the things that I'll share with you is, first of all, it has to be personified. It has to be personal. You have to know that when I'm talking about your leadership in God using you to change a whole parish, a whole state, a whole nation, that means your life is in for acceleration. Okay? That means longevity and all of that has come a part of this because God needs you on the scene. Are you following me? So it's important. Because as I said, nobody gonna do too much if they don't know they're getting something out of it. Now you can tell me about your love God and all that stuff. I understand that, but you got to get something out of this. Right. And what you can get out of it is that you will be up moving with God for a long period of time. So this abundant grace, in the 3rd chapter of Ephesians, Paul talks about the dispensation of grace. He revealed a manifold wisdom of God. You're gonna have to operate in the manifold wisdom of God. You're going to have to operate in the unsearchable riches of Christ. And you're also going to recognize that you have a boldness of access with confidence by the faith of him. All that's in Ephesians chapter 3. You also cannot work on a regular schedule. What did I say?
Can't work on a regular schedule.
No, you have to be able to understand that you are programmed by God to function in mysteries.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
See, those who know how to function in mysteries and yield a mystery will be ahead of the pack. And so they'll be able to lead, all right? So in that 3rd chapter of Ephesians, you might want to make a note of that chapter and read it and get some concept of the revelation of the mystery of the dispensation of grace. Because you're going to need to be graced for this. This will not be an ordinary functioning. I'm going to begin to step up the pace in this ministry, in this church. I'm going to step up the discipline in this church because it's going to have to be a disciplined church. It's going to be a church submitted. But there are so many blessings in store for that. Okay, in your prayer time, you must ask the Lord to season you with abundance of grace. Now, what you're asking him to season you with favor. See, and he will. So the years ahead of us are years of great significance. As I studied with another apostle of being seasoned with abundant grace for the raising of governing territorial churches. Now, these subdivision has no say-so on this. We should be taking this thing over. God give us divine strategies of how to do it. And I think we're at that point now. Now there will be great spiritual revivals. There will be a revivals, restoration, actually a spiritual revolution will take place when these territorial churches and pioneers start moving and start walking, start talking, start ministering to people in different facets than the normal way, and that our lives will rise to a point of significance, that our lives will speak so loud that when we talk, people will want to hear us.
Yes, sir.
And that's what God designed his blessing for, that you to walk in so much blessing that when you talk, even if you're not saying much, the person still will listen. Yeah, because your life speaks so loud and the things that God have done for you. So it'd be a time, it would be also be a time of the manifestation of the revivalist type of ministry. Alive, it's Ezekiel 37, ministers that had been dead but prophesied to, and the full wind blows on them, and they come alive, and they're healthy and wealthy and happy and free and tearing down strongholds and using their imagination to its highest peak, seeing what God sees. I mean, it's a blessing. I don't know why people don't make enough effort to get in there, but it's a total blessing, man. My God, I mean, it's nothing like it. I mean, I've had some of every type of material thing you can have, from jets to Rolls Royces to big houses to extravagant gifts and extravagant trips, and nothing like what I'm talking to you about now. All those things are minute compared to what we're talking about. So here we're talking about there's a need of stronger men and women, stronger in the spirit. Stronger men and women are needed because they say these are apostolic ministers and team will become the stronger men of their cities. The stronger men of their cities. I have no complication with your infirmity. Your infirmities are there for a reason. We preach about infirmity, your weakness. They're there for a reason, that you can become stronger.
You're right. Amen.
That you can become more relying on God than yourself.
Right.
That's why Jesus left some infirmities in us, so we recognize that we're infirm without him. You know, so the church got a tendency to preach about people's weaknesses. I've come to that stage, but I recognize now, even you recognize when I talk, teach this morning on the supernatural in the man sanctuary, that infirmities are very important, but it make you rely on God more. Now, these stronger men and women will be governing, listen to me very closely now, over the spiritual atmosphere. Now, there's a key word here that I've been studying, real strong. Whatever happened without came from within. So this world is talking about a within world. It's talking about men and women who ministering from a within world, an inner world, inner forces, inner power, inner strength, a within world. Yeah, because every condition, every environment, and every experience you have came from within. You caused it. You permitted it. Okay, so if you want it to happen different, check on what's going on, what you're thinking within, what you're saying from within, what you're believing from within. What's happening, I'll go to the side, Jenny, what's happening when you're attacked? Do you deal with the problem or the solution? See, the solution is always within you. God works from the inside out. Most men trying to lead from without, you can't do it. Can't do it. I've been through those stages. You got this group, you leaders, when dealing with the members of this church, you're going to deal with them from within. Yeah, you don't deal with the effect. You become the call. You like the Bible said, the curse causes shall not come? The blessing causes shall not come either. You understand me? All right. Now, so with these stronger men and stronger women governing over their spiritual atmosphere, see, that's what we need to see. Sometimes we're trying to govern over people. But when you get the spiritual atmosphere right, the people already under government. Another aspect you want to look at is an advancing church, not stand still. And traditionally and religiously, when a church atmosphere change and it start advancing, there are some people who can't handle it. They'll have to find a church at the same pace of their thinking. So you're going to have something to walk away. That's why all of them couldn't keep walking with Jesus. Because Jesus kept shifting in the atmosphere, and they wanted the same thing. And Jesus was just listening at the Father and do it any way the Father told him to do it. And, you know, that was a stage that Jesus told his own mama, said, I'm not under you no more. Remember in John chapter 2 when she started talking and said they need wine? He says, I'm not no longer under your jurisdiction. Woman, what I have to do with you? I'm not under you anymore. I don't take orders from you no more. And see, that's why I want you to come where you're taking your orders from God. You recognize that you're locked in a spirit realm. There, you see. Don't let your life dictate to you. You tell your life what it's going to be. You powerful enough to do that now. You just pay attention and take these impartations. It'll change your life. Okay? So now, in the advancing church, it's keeping it's terms I want you to hear, a spiritual climate conducive and correct for the ongoing victory for an advancing church. I'll give you that again now. See, I just told you about, oh my goodness, governing over the spiritual atmosphere, right?
Right.
All right. Then when I say keeping a spiritual climate conducive and correct for the ongoing victory for an advancing church. Ongoing victory. Ongoing victory. You know. And you know, you got scriptures, 1 John 5:4. This is the victory to overcome the world, even our faith. So we have to advance our faith, advance our walk with God and walking by faith. Yeah, amen. And then there's an aspect of, you remember when Jesus came to John to be baptized? How many of y'all remember that? All right, you remember John was fussing, but John said, you should be baptized, and Jesus said, suffer to be so, because we're going to establish righteousness. You remember what happened when he was baptized? The Bible said the heaven was open. Huh? And they heard a voice, and the Holy Spirit started moving.
Right?
All right, now, so this territorial governing, advancing church in which Word of Life Christian Center is, and we are, must keep the heavens open. Mm-hmm. The Lord is rising up such churches and ministers across the earth who will be responsible to keep the heavens open for the Lord. Keep the heavens open. I pray to God we have a discussion. We have a demonstration this morning in our service of an open heaven. It's possible. It's possible. You see, I need you tight in place,
right.
Tight in place. As leaders, we'll have to train the remnant how to be blessed. You follow me?
Yes, sir.
And so I have to train you so well that you think like God thinks. Act like God act in any situation, because we really need the heaven open. If the heaven don't open, ladies and gentlemen, we can sing all the songs we want to sing and have the best voices and pray the best prayer. But if heaven don't open, it's just no good. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not going to work. It's on the same line as the 4-H Club.
Right.
See, our expectancy should be for God to do something out of the ordinary all the time. And he loves it. He loves it. He loves us, you know. Yeah. So, make sure that we are advancing church. Make sure that keeping heaven open. Now, there must be demonstrations of God's new waves of power.
Right.
Demonstration of God's new waves of power. The apostolic mandate and authority is being placed upon those churches in these awesome days of the demonstration of God's new waves of power. I'll preach from the text this morning for the supernatural in 1 Corinthians 2 about the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. That's supernatural. Supernatural. So what we have to have is supernatural expectancy. You heard that?
Yes, sir.
See, I have supernatural
expectancy.
There are certain ways to get in the miracle zone. There are miracle zones always waiting on somebody to come in. Miracle zone must be walked in through the mystery zone. And then you get off into a manifestation zone. But to get there, you must be in a meekness zone. You follow me? Yeah, you have to be in fear and trembling. In a meekness, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So I just told you a few things there. A certain attitude you got to have. Okay. But this demonstration of God's new wave of power is coming because it need that wave for the wave of evil. The wave of the world system are getting more technical and more inviting, and it's robbing the church of our power. And the church turned to be sociable to draw a number. I'm not thinking about no number per se. I'm thinking about what's happening on the inside. But I recognize that many walked away from Jesus. And I recognize that Gideon started with 32,000. And the cowards and the careless people had to be let go because they were getting somebody killed. They're acting like they know him. And so, there are some members of this church I would never train because they want to stay in the same groove. They won't take communion, then they won't have their special season to come. And every church got those. They will never know me, and they will never know why God put me in their life. And I had to come to grip. I had to come to grip with that myself, because they're gonna do what they want to do. And so I can't come fussing at you because they're doing what they want to do. So I'm learning, you know, as a seasoned minister, the minister to who present. And don't hold a whole service talking about who not yet. And so there'll be some of the greatest fulfillment of prophecies in our lives. Now watch what it says here. Those who have been listening attentively and obeying God's prophetic voice are about to see the greatest fulfillment of prophecy in their individual lives. Now you must know in this ministry you're sitting under a prophetic voice.
That's right. Oh yes, sir.
I mean, I've been sitting under and didn't know it. You must understand it. The apostolic and a prophetic voice. And so God puts your words in my mouth.
Right. Amen.
Now, if you disrespect it and don't recognize it and don't receive it, that's another horse. If you have your personal agenda, will be a hindrance. Why? Because you're not really listening. You're sitting waiting for an opening.
Right.
And you don't have to wait for an opening. When the opening comes, you're going to know it.
Right.
I mean, I'll go back over my life. You know, I was with my old pastor, and he was just preaching. And all of a sudden, just opened. Just like the Red Sea, just opened up for me.
Right.
I wasn't trying to go nowhere. I wasn't trying to do nothing.
Right.
I was just obeying, serving communion, following behind him. Telling people say you preach better than him. I said, no, I don't preach better than him.
Yes,
oh, no, I'm under him.
Right.
You see, people try to make me rise up against him, you know. I wouldn't. And the door opened, I asked him, he said, yeah, go ahead, son, that's God. I'm fully blessed.
Yes,
see, so just, you know, see, those who have been listening attentively and obeying God's prophetic voice are about to see the greatest fulfillment a prophecy in their individual life. You can't be preaching about blessing and you're not blessed. Now, it talks here, too, I want you to know something about it. A new breed, God's new leadership. You're part of a new breed. And part of God's new leadership. Now, it said that the new breed will become pillars for God's new leadership structure to be established in his last day church. I said a new breed will become pillars for God's new leadership structure to be established in his last day church. Why 7:30? It's a discipline. Fullness. There must be a fullness. You must be full of faith.
Yeah.
Full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
you see, the fullness of the prophetic and apostolic dimension will be birthed before the breaking forth of this new day of the Lord. What are we doing here? We're birthing the prophetic and the apostolic.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now, 43 years I've been in this. I've traveled some. And I've seen a lot of name slinging. But I haven't seen the proof behind it. Now, there are many out there doing the apostolic way, doing the prophetic way. We just haven't seen them.
Right.
And so when I came into this realm, whenever I come to the realm, God send people in my life, he sent books in my life, he had somebody say something to me. That's the way he trained me. As soon as I stepped off in the stage of the apostolic, a book was given me. Some of the material I'm teaching now comes from that book. One was seasoned in the apostolic. This apostolic, this prophetic and apostolic dimension will be birthed before the breaking forth of this new day of the Lord. We must not try to mingle in positions we don't know.
Right.
You know why? It gives the devil an opportunity to do things in our lives that he couldn't do if we weren't in the wrong place.
Right, that's right.
All right? All right, now, there's a, on you, when you're ready, there's a governing apostolic anointing supposed to rest on you as leaders in this church. But you're going to have to be up front. It will set the pace for the emergence of the governing apostolic anointing to impact the cities and influence the nation. Now, one thing you must understand, I know you understand, it's not a local church. We're affecting the nation. You know, our church and my name, our church is almost a household word around the world. Who did that? God did that. And so, you know, we come through here and go through regular motion, but we're touching people's lives.
Right.
It'll have 2,000 to 4,000 people in service this morning.
Right.
On their line, in almost every country.
Right.
Listening. Some listened all night long last night. That's why we were able to come off television. We're pioneering now. Some ministers say they can't come off them still. We came off and went up. But you had to have to follow God's leading, you see. All right, now, so this governing apostolic anointing, you wrote that down?
Yes, sir.
Governing apostolic anointing is not a regular anointing. It's God's chief anointing. And with that, it will bring greater manifestation of apostolic power. We begin to see governing churches that will become the spiritual womb to bring forth the greatest manifestation of an apostolic power the nation have ever seen or the church have ever seen at large. Let me get it again. I'm going to read both of them. It will set the pace for the emergence of the governing apostolic anointing to impact the cities and influence the nation. We'll begin to see governing churches that will become the spiritual womb to bring forth the greatest manifestation of apostolic power the nation has ever seen. Now, let me tell you something that's going on right now that many think I don't know. Every church in this area is patting itself after this church.
You're right. Right.
It just can't go so far because they got tradition kind of holding back, but they try to change. You know, I put up a fence, they put up a fence. Whatever I do, they do it.
Right.
They know it's something, but they just don't want... They don't want to contaminate themselves with it. Because a lot of times when you don't know revelation, you think it's contamination. And so not only here, not only at Baton Rouge, New Orleans, the full gospel, all of them, they're watching. They know something different going on. You understand what I'm saying? So we have a lot of secret ministerial disciples. Because they know there's something original here. It's the book of Acts.
See,
the book of Acts coming back on the scene. See, we drifted from the book of Acts in centuries. We drifted from it. So when we drifted, the power drifts from us. And so we have many, not M-A-N-N-Y, a midget, let me use the word midget, spiritual activity compared to the magnifying position God has put us in by being in divine sonship. And so we're going to have to make the scene so clear that it will attract either the ministers or his members going to leave. So why a lot of ministers come to meetings, they don't bring their members with them because they're scared of this church.
Right.
I talked to some of my son. I said, I'm not going to take your members, man. Bring them because I'm going to ask them where they come from and I'll send them back. They come by themselves. I remember when I first got into a little deeper dimension of the things of God, built the first 500 seater we added on to the church. And I couldn't find nobody to minister that thing properly. I couldn't get none of the traditional boys to come minister. I had some good friends, but I didn't want a traditional flame to come in that church. So I got a guy, a certain guy. He was a white gentleman. I got him from his full gospel. I don't know if it was a full gospel church. And he come to do the dedication of it. He came by himself. He brought his wife, no member. And as I grew, I understand why he did that. He didn't want to see what was happening here. There was somebody else teaching, you know what I'm saying, along that line. Good man. Now, listen very carefully. rising against all limitation, restriction, and fear. Rising against. See, that's what the governing territorial church would do. Rising against all limitation, restrictions, and fear. Let me get to you in a statement. The churches in many lands, L-A-N-D-S, will rise against all limitation, restrictions, plural, fear of men and religion.
Right.
Now this word, I can't pronounce this word. I keep trying. H-I-E-R-A-R-C-H-I-E-S.
Hierarchies.
Yeah, these people up, think they're big stuff.
Right, right, right.
Let me read it again now. The churches in many lands will rise against all limitation, restriction, fear of men and religious hierarchy. To forgive, to fulfill their destiny in God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you see, there has to be a rising. Hmm?
Yes,
I said there has to be a rising.
Right.
And so a lot of time, it would seem like you're against people. But I'm really not against people. I love people. But when the pressure on, I have to move in the direction that the Spirit going. And so you come out as an oddball,
yeah.
Or thank you all that.
Right, 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 right.
But you're just trying to get where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I know if I follow you, I'm not going to get there.
Right.
So you go left, I go right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to turn right.
Right.
Or left, whatever way, you know, that you need to go, God leading you. It will produce. So what I'm saying here, what are we saying here? What are we saying here? See, the limitation, the restriction, and the fear are going to remain if everybody do the same thing. See, we've been so church mind washed. We've been so routinely hammered. Over the years, that sometimes you see the real thing, you don't really know what it is.
Right.
Tell me what to do.
Right.
Shoot, I'm a grown man.
Right.
Ain't nobody talking about no grown
right.
man yet now. We're talking about a grown God.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
But religiously, you have to fight. You had to fight with a religious spirit trying to rule you and reign over you. You know, you had to fight, you know. And so I understand. Now, the apostle said this. He talked about the years ahead, or years of prophetic drama. Prophetic drama. In other words, it's going to look like something as the world turned, you know, because the prophet and the apostles are going to be stepped out in their position.
Right, right, right.
Pastors and evangelists and teachers are going to have to fall in their place. Because there's another world. You see, he built it up on the apostle and the prophet, the foundation. And it's only talking about teaching and like a general in the army and a captain and a sergeant. The same thing. I don't know why people can go there and salute and do everything they tell them to do, and they get in the church and say, huh? You the leader?
Right.
I got to do this to you. I want to do this to God. You know, you didn't get my point.
Right.
Unusual manifestation.
Yes,
I would like to have that in your personal life.
Oh, yes,
so you can get excited.
Yes,
so I'm going to ask the Lord
yes,
to give you some unusual manifestation.
Yes,
Lord, give every one of them in here. I just act the Lord. I just talk to the Lord.
Yes,
you know, like, give everybody some unusual manifestation so they'll know they've been in this meeting.
Yes,
we will see unusual manifestations of God's power creating a holy fear in the house of the Lord. Yeah, it's a holy fear. I live under a holy fear. I've seen too much to be stupid. So you know, I live under a holy fear. Holy fear is good.
Yes, it is.
Is the beginning of wisdom. isn't it? That was what Solomon said.
Yes,
sir. It's a holy fear. See. And manifestation, unusual manifestation. Write these words down because you're going to hear them. Unusual, uncommon, and ultimate. Those are words that need to be dreamed of, held in place. And here's a key factor that you want to make sure that it's always happening. The presence of God manifesting in our midst. I mean, our mouth is not holy enough almost to say that. The presence of God. Oh my, I crave the continuing presence of God. Manifested. See, the presence of God is always here, but manifested, creating an atmosphere and an environment and a childlike faith and trust that he can get our spirit, soul, and senses in harmony. Wow. You know, that's what he's talking about in Hebrews 5. See, I'll exercise our senses as you mature to know the difference between evil and good. That's a line, that's alignment you want. You want your spirit, your soul, and your senses in alignment. I see in the old days, he's talking about having your senses in alignment. See, the senses are no good but God. You cannot use your senses with God. Yeah, if the soul if it's connected properly to the soul, you can. And if the soul properly connected to the spirit, you can. I just got enough sense to know some things ain't right. I don't need no revelation. I just matured senses. No, this ain't going to work. Not with God. The presence of God manifested in our midst. We will see the manifested presence of God in our midst. Amen.
Amen.
So in service, when you see me fumbling around, you need to fumble with me. Because I don't know what I'm doing sometimes. But I'm trying to yield to him. Then we come to this word maturity. Maturity. I want to make a statement about maturity. I think Hebrews 5 talks about that maturity, maturing in the things of God. Not drinking milk, but eating strong meat. I mean revelation, you see. We will rise to the maturity of childlikeness in character. Now, this sounds like an oxymoron,
Yeah.
They're talking about maturity and say childlikeness. See, the maturity of God is different than the maturity of the natural. See, the more you mature in God, the more childlikeness you have.
Yeah, right. Oh, yes, sir.
Isn't that something? And the childlikeness does not mean that you're not matured mentally. It means that in the spirit world, you're like a little child. You're open. See, a child will do almost anything you tell them to do.
Right.
And that's where God wants us. You see, you can't be a matured man in the spirit, and you know you won't take your physical 45 years old up to God. God said, hey, boy, 45. You ain't never been there yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's a major obstacle. Blockage in rising spiritually of the immaturity of childhood.
Right. Yes, sir. Right.
You're too immature to be a child.
Right.
Especially when you know your leader is consecrated.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
And you know on your leader mind is what God wants. Oh, Lord. See, some people couldn't stand the million-dollar effect. They gave him a whole million dollars. Yeah. But they don't know where my seed and my faith been. It's been out there for years. The Lord spoke to me, $20 million. What going to happen when that come? What you going to do then? This a money church. Yes, it sure is.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
You want a broke church? Go somewhere else. This church is about money. Being blessed. What we need to operate? What you need to get here this morning? Let them clothes come from you got on. Did somebody give them to you? You been to the Salvation Army? Don't look at no Salvation Army clothes to me. We will rise to the maturity of childlikeness in character, paving the way for a covenant relationship to be birthed in his church. And the reason the covenant can't be birthed, it got too many doggone matured people in the flesh. And they have not been broken down to become as a little child and say, feed me, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I'm saying. Apostolic power and authority.
Right.
Apostolic power and authority. The revealing of Christ in and through the human bodies of the saint will allow the Holy Spirit to speak through the saints in apostolic power and authority. Apostolic power and authority, all right? Now, here's where it gets a little stinky. God's judgment in his house. See, along with this apostolic, prophetic apostolic church rising, there's going to be a judgment in God's house. He's going to have to deal with some people. He's still started already. I know some died. I know some was exposed, lost everything they had. Okay. The removing of the anointing from churches and ministers will be the beginning of God's judgment in his house. They're functioning in the same faction, but the anointing have left because they didn't do with it what they should have done with it. That's a dangerous position to be in. Uh-huh. So it says ABC. Some will fall away. Some will fall away. Now watch what he said next. Others will be prematurely removed. Yet others are sidestepped and sidelined. Now thank God we got this. Many previously fallen will be restored into a great portion of anointing. Watch now, because they're deep repentant and willing to yield to God's original call.
Right. Yes, sir. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I thought of a brother, I'm not gonna call his name, but I think he got his tail whooped, he got back in line
right.
and started doing what he was supposed to do. The release of the greatest manifestation of revelation and power. There will be a release of the greatest manifestation of revelation and power gifts the world have ever seen. And that's 1 Corinthians 12. That's another chapter you need to look in, 1 Corinthians 12. I think I'm going to give three or four chapters in the service this morning. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is one about the gifts of the Spirit. We need to, in this church, yield and let the gift function. You know, I had to have such a strong hold on this church to jerk her out of regular that the gifts don't even want to move sometimes because I'm strong enough. I got it locked down. See, when I come to that pulpit, I got this whole thing locked down. I'm locking it down because I know what a scarecrow can do. A scarecrow can make you believe a poison stand there and it's not really a poison. And so you get this these flamboyant people with gifts talking. Just they won't prophesy the heavy Sunday. And so the Lord put a fear on them in his ministry that we can get to this point. But we have to yield. Actually, when the praise settle down, that's the time that if somebody, God wants to use somebody, he can use them, you know. And so correction is protection. But I dare not slam dump a person who's trying to yield to the Spirit. You got to train, you know. See? So you feel the Lord saying something to you, say it out. You see? And if you need to be corrected, the Holy Ghost will correct it in the best way, applaudable to correct it. You follow what I'm saying? So I know all these things. I know Word of Life have yield to the Holy Ghost before in that area. Some of y'all have been with me here. But every level you go to, there's another devil. So what I got to do is I'm aiming, you know, I'm doing a lot of praying to make sure that we can stay on the trail, that we can get where we're going, you see what I'm saying? Because you can be thrown off at any moment. And so sometimes I'm a little more tighter than I need to be, but I'm watching because I want to make sure things are right. And need to have that holy fear. Yes, if you go operating the gift, you need to have a holy fear. Yes, you need to fear the leader.
Right. Yes, right.
I better do this thing right, man. It better be God.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Then you won't go to saying a whole lot of crazy stuff talking about you just feel good. Nobody will ever feel good. You got people alive being affected. And especially us now, we look at a few hundred people, and yeah, we're dealing with thousands of people. I'm only estimating. Because when you get a hit, it could be 2,000 people on one hit. I know that group listening to our ministry all over the world. Got churches listening to our, they got people building churches, got their group listening to our service. Man, good God, I got to close here. It's 8:17. I need y'all to go over there and pray somewhere. Y'all don't quit praying. Some of y'all coming to the service, pray. Because I didn't come. You know, I went in there and had 10 people the other day. Y'all need to get here before service, go in there and pray. That's why I'm shutting it down in the church. I've shut it down in the church. Because Acts 2 said they were all in one place on one accord. That's half hour praying, half hour before church. Matter of fact, I'll go in prayer meeting this morning and give you some points in there. I'm just going to work today. Give you some points in there. Why we need to pray and why. And we'll pray a few minutes and see what works. So let's get ready to go over there. I'm going to take up here. Probably next 1 or 2 weeks, I'm going to have another class and keep, we'll keep going and keep teaching you apostolic, all right? All right. Let me see now. All right. Let's go over into prayer meeting now. Being in prayer this morning. I'm proud of the prayer team that I have. They actually, you can't back them up. They're locked in. And I'm so thankful. One of the things I want you to realize from 1 Corinthians 14:2, that praying in the spirit or tongue is the entrance into the supernatural. It's the entrance into the supernatural. You might want to make a note of that. It's the entrance. Whenever you're praying in the spirit, you're entering into the realm of the supernatural, which meaning that anything can happen. It's a miracle zone. It's a manifestation zone. It's a mystery zone that will be opened up to you when you pray in the spirit. But I also want to remind you, we need to pray in our language, in the normal language also. I got to praying in tongues so much I quit praying almost in a normal language. But you need to just talk to God sometime, all right? All right, now, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. How be it in the spirit, he speaketh what?
Mystery.
Praying in tongue is beneficial because it's the gateway into the spirit realm. the gateway into the spirit realm. The gateway into the spirit realm. That's where you want to get. See, as a Christian, you're already in the physical realm. But remember, it's going to help you. If you write this down, it's going to help you when you're praying. It's the gateway into the spirit realm. Secondly, you listening?
Yes, sir.
When you're praying in the spirit, you're unlocking the spirit world. You're unlocking the spirit world or the spirit realm. Actually, you're unlocking the supernatural. As long as Satan can keep you from praying or praying in tongue, he's going to keep you from the miraculous. Give me a few minutes. We're going to pray in the spirit in a few minutes. I just want to pass these things to you. Look at the word, how be it in the spirit. You see that in that text? Say it. I want you to think about it. How be it in the spirit. Here's what it's saying. When you pray in tongue, you're automatically in the spirit. You're not trying to get in the spirit. No. Rabakashara, I'm in the spirit. I'm where God is. Rabakosateva, I'm where God is. I'm where the Holy Ghost is. I'm where Jesus is. See, you have to know what you're doing. You're not just coming here just ramming off words. You're getting in the realm. Then we tekopre stop. Oh, then we take that atmosphere with us into the service. Then the Lord can do astonishing things. Your atmosphere creates us. You make God welcome. If it's such a thing, God is not unrestful around you. Because he know you're real. You walk from this prayer room in reality, or in the realities that anything can happen that need to be happened to any person that come in this service. What you're doing is you're creating an atmosphere for creation. Know this significant. Know you're just not a person rattling off words. What this ministry is now, and what I spoke to the leaders this morning, we need this type of praying. There's no substitute. Out there, you can get the most beautiful place you want. You can sing the most beautiful songs you want. And the man or woman of God can speak with such eloquence. But there's no substitute for the power of God. There are people in this room have some needs that need to be met. And they won't be met unless God move in this house. Unless we give the Holy Spirit free course. Every one of you all is designed to be a sign and a wonder. Hey, write that down. Put your initial body. I'm designed to be a sign and a wonder. I'm designed to make my life is so blessed to make sinners fall out with their life. All right, we're going to pray in a minute. See. How be it in the spirit, when you pray in tongue, you're automatically in the spirit. Here's what Paul was stating. Paul was stating that God is in the spirit. So when we pray in tongue, we in the spirit where God dwells.
instantly. You don't have to try to get in the spirit. God will give you a way to be in the spirit. Say something. I'm in the spirit. I'm in the action where God is. Yeah, I get happy, man. I can instantly get in the presence of God. I can instantly come out of the flesh. I can instantly move out of my senses. Stir up the gift that's in you. Listen to this. Otherwise, when you start praying in tongues, you're entering God's miracle zone. Miracles happen in the realm of the Spirit. What I say? You create the miracle zone. Jesus don't have to because he is a miracle. We determine what's going to happen here this morning. How much power, how much revelation, how much grace, how much favor, how much deliverance, how much victory going to happen here this morning. You got something to do with it. This room right here got something to do with it. These leaders that's talking to you in this place, they got something to do with it. Praying in tongue is a direct line to God. Hotline. Nobody can interrupt it. Satan don't know what you're saying. He confused. Only you and God talking. Come on, let's go. This hotline. Get on this hotline. Lord, we're getting on the hotline for this morning service. We're touching people all around the world this morning. Our lives need you to touch us. Miracles needed in this room. That's manifestation needed in this room. So the Spirit make us operate as one man. Shakata, the man Jesus. Walk through these floors this morning. Let Jesus walk through this house today. The Holy Spirit have free course. Come on, join in, son. Direct line to God. You're speaking in a direct line to God. You and God. Come on. You and God. I can't hear you. Uproar this place. You and God. A direct line. Shout out. Get on your direct line. Get on your hotline. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hey. Now listen. I beat in the spirit, okay? It's a direct line to God. Tongue is your hotline to God. And it revealed to us a direct line to the Almighty. Knowing that when we have an audience with God, miracles will flow. Hmm. Hebrews 4:16. Oh, hallelujah. Really pray in tongue, you have to become like a little child. You don't know what you're doing, but you know what you're doing. Basically, it's yielding. Not trying to be popular. It's yielding. What I say?
Yielding.
Yielding. See, you yield yourself to God. Notice that. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. See, you see it? Tongue or praying in the spirit is the believer's direct access to the throne room. Direct access to the throne room. I'm doing this to exhort you, to encourage you to come in this room. I have to be begging you to keep begging you to come pray. Come in this room, you're going to get your answer and the person next to your answer and the people down the street answer. You know, everybody who God desire you to minister to, you see. All right, let me give you one more point. Praying in tongue is speaking divine mysteries, divine coded secrets. Now the word mysteries here, hidden things, divine secrets, coded language, secret will or plan. Knowledge withheld from the ungodly, but truth revealed to the righteous. When you're praying in tongue, Boyta, you're declaring the secrets of God. God said in Word of Life, Christian Sunday this morning, I'm going to do a secret thing. But I need somebody to get the heaven open so I can do it. God said, I want them. Slip a heart in somebody's chest. God dog. God dog, man. I want to slip something in somebody's account. I want to slip a 15-year extension on somebody's life. Most powerful people of a spiritual movement is in here. Not up there, in here. I have them all over the world now. I'm not no dummy. Not in the spirit realm. I got them praying all over the world right now. It made a difference in my ministry. You're declaring the secrets of God, and then we're going to pray real strong in the next 10 minutes. Which will impart blessing and impact in your life. Listen, when you come here, you better hear this. You are prophesying your God-ordained future. You see why Satan don't want you to come in here? He don't want you to prophesy God-ordained future. So he tell you, I ain't going this morning. And you think it's you. And you don't miss a prophecy over your ordained future by gathering with the saints of God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Mm-hmm. Okay, just one more, then we're going to pray. By praying in the Spirit, you are making a path of blessing and power for you to walk in and enjoy. You have that in there? But you're prophesying your God-ordained future. So if praying in the Spirit, prophesying your God-ordained future, where y'all been going? I mean, you called by God to be in here. Look at you now. We've got this place almost full up. As a pastor, I had to stir you up. I come in here, I had 10 people up here. None of my leaders. I ain't gonna fuss at you. I'm just gonna cuss a little bit. All right, let's lift our hand and pray for the service. Let's go. Come on, y'all can make more noise than you're in here. Ha ra ra ba sho ku ta la ba sha. Ha ra ba 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 sa ta ta ta.